fulfilling. I mean, it was.
I mean, did you like doing it, or is this one of the things that you got to do that you don't particularly like?
I liked the time with the missionaries, and I liked getting to know them better. I didn't like having to kind of pull teeth to get the information. But, you know, lots of our ministry leaders and missionaries, and this is not unusual to any church, they're very busy doing the stuff that God's called them to do. And so, you know, to write something up for an executive pastor to put on our website is just not the top priority. And so I would get them on the phone, and I would just ask them a few things, and then I would write it up, and just to get it organized. And so the result of it, I really did enjoy that. And especially the result of Mission Sunday and seeing...
Yeah. And most of our missionaries are very humble, like Corey back there, and he won't hardly tell you what all God's doing or what his needs are.
Well,
so
yeah, and that made it hard, too.
We appreciate that. You feel like you do have the spiritual gift of teaching, but then you define it here. Explain what is the gift that you feel like God's given you as one of your spiritual gifts. We all get at least one spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. You feel like this is one of yours. Explain what that means and how you distinctly do that.
Okay. I believe I have the spiritual gift of teaching. And so something that God's really put on my heart and is a real passion of mine is bringing clarity to a situation that has confusion, or being able to teach or make sense of something that was misunderstood previously. And it's not always something real difficult or a real deep theological issue or truth that requires this. You can even bring clarity with small things that are misunderstood. And I remember when I first told you about that a year and a half ago now, some of the questions were, okay, well, how does that look like kind of outside of ministry? And it was, well, I think I can do stuff like that with Addie. I think it gives me supernatural joy, even with Addie, when I teach her things that she didn't know before, things she was confused about. So I am excited to see what that looks like going forward with her. But I really do have a passion for you're saying you're misunderstanding something, or maybe you're not saying that, but I can tell that you're misunderstanding it. And then being able to teach it and teach it well and bring lots of clarity, and people are going, wow, I never knew that. I've never heard it said that way or heard it taught that way. And so I do think God's gifted me to do that, and that's the thing that gives me the most joy and satisfaction.
You have passion there.
Absolutely, and I think there's a variety of hows as well.
Have you tried that with Rachel?
You know, from time to time.
I won't ask how that's working. You mentioned here mentoring, that you've received mentoring from me and other godly men like Bob Silva and David. Mm-hmm. Can you describe that a little bit, what that's like, the value in it?
Sure. You know, ongoing for the last couple of years, certainly if I'm unsure about something or how to go about it or want some advice or counsel, but lots of times even when I don't want that and I think I've got it figured out and I don't really think I need any advice or counsel, I've still gone. And I think God's really led me to do this and encouraged me, more than encouraged me, to do this. When I think I've got it figured out and I think this is what's best, I still run it by Buddy or Bob or David, or I'll talk with them about it. And let me hear your perspective. Let me get your thoughts, your wisdom, your counsel, because I think there's lots of value in it. I mean, you guys, especially older men and women that have been around for, and especially in ministry, you know, that have done this sort of thing, there's been tons of value in it. And lots of times I did have it right. You know, and lots of times I didn't, but lots of times I did have it right. But going to you and hearing you say, well, that's, you know, that's exactly right, or that's what you need to say, or that's my perspective as well. That was real encouraging to me as, you know, throughout the process as well.
So do you feel like you're teachable?
I think so.
I do too. Okay. You don't, at this point, you don't have a seminary education or seminary training.
Correct.
And yet you have mentoring. Are you saying mentoring is sufficient, or has mentoring done things for you that you think a seminary education would do? Answer that, if you would.
It sounded like you said the same thing.
I did.
I'd say both.
I did.
I've received lots of mentoring. I've gone through the ordination process and the exam, which we talked about some back in February when that happened, but that was a year-long process of meeting with Buddy and going through lots of research and lots of homework and lots of assignments and getting to the point where I finally took an oral exam that says, okay, I hope you can remember everything you've learned over the last year. And that was challenging, and lots of studying and stuff. And so not just the exam, but the ongoing mentoring that I've received, I think that's good enough, if that's the right wording. But and I think I've learned, or at least I've been told from a variety of you, that I've learned lots of what I would learn, lots of the major things that I would learn and have practical application with from seminary. So if that helps, can I share a little of my intention?
Sure.
Okay, so my intention, if I were to, and probably if not, Rachel and I have been looking at seminary for several months now, looking at different options and different programs to consider, and prices and things like that. And so that is something that's been on my heart long. It was on my heart, and Rachel can tell you, pursuing seminary was something I wanted to do long before I ever moved to Panama, long before I was, back when I was a civil engineer doing work and was trying to figure out how would I ever fit seminary in, you know, with just night classes and that sort of thing. And so that desire is still in my heart, and it is my intention to pursue that in the very near future, probably in the fall, regardless of what happens with the pastoral call and all that.
Okay. So without seminary education, how explain to us why we should consider calling you as our pastor, since you've not been seminary trained?
Well, I've had lots of experience here, lots of mentoring from a variety of you, you and Bob and David and a variety of other men here that have seen me in action with lots of the practical applications of things that I would walk away with to begin pastoring from seminary. You've seen me, seen the fruit, you've seen the giftings and the abilities and the skill sets and that sort of thing. And so that's why I would say I think I'm prepared and able to do it. And you don't see in Scripture where there's, you know, a required seminary degree.
Okay.
And I think, you know, the example with Paul and Timothy, you know, he received extensive mentoring from Paul and then took over pastoring full time, the most booming church of Ephesus when he was 30 years old.
So Timothy was a young man too.
Absolutely.
Okay. So like studying the Word of God, do you feel that the seminary word is hermeneutics? Do you feel like you are equipped to study the Word of God with excellence?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, you and I have gone through an extensive process with me training you how to study the Word of God, but you feel confident and competent now. You have good skills there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've also trained you in homiletics, the art of preaching. Can you talk a minute about that? And do you feel like that was helpful, that changed you, that affected your ability to communicate?
Yeah, absolutely. It was something I was hesitant to do, and not
well,
because...
Why were you hesitant?
Yeah, and the reason I was hesitant, you know, I wasn't hesitant because I didn't think I could preach or couldn't do it well, couldn't communicate or craft a sermon or anything like that. In fact, I think I'm gifted to do that really well. I'm not real comfortable with public speaking. And so being in front of everybody was intimidating, and it's over the last, I would say, you know, especially the last 6 months, I've been up here a lot more often, and I've gotten lots more comfortable and have been lots less nervous, and so that's really helped. And so now it's not as big of an issue, but initially, you know, back 6 months ago when we were talking about, you know, pursuing preaching, it was kind of intimidating, and I wasn't opposed to it, but it was intimidating, and now I do feel like I'm more comfortable, and I do feel that the course that we went through has taught me lots of basics and lots of kind of hows, and I'm excited to continue preaching and continue developing this skill set and gifting that I think God's given me.
Yeah, I want to ask something that's not on here.
Great.
You're trained as a civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met you, you seemed to me a typical civil engineer.
Not, I did or I didn't?
You seemed like that to me.
Okay.
And I didn't see you as very relational. I didn't see you as very emotional. And I sure didn't see much passion. Has something happened? Have you changed? Is that, which one is you?
Yeah, and I think there's parts of both that are me. And, you know, as far as the engineering standpoint, you know, my mindset was problem solving and efficiency and effectiveness. And of course, lots of those things that I think I'm good at have helped with lots of the executive pastor type stuff that I have done. But I do think I've gotten to be lots more relational, and I think God's taught me how to do that really well, or at least a lot better than I used to be able to, kind of sort of come out of my shell, if that's the right word, or the right way of putting it. and I've enjoyed doing that. And so, you know, there's parts of both.
Okay, so you preach with passion. Where does that come from?
Well, I can't tell you exactly. It's coming from the passion that God's given me. I'm not generating it in and of myself.
Okay. And how do you feel about the sheep? How do you feel about these people?
I love them.
Do you really?
They're difficult at times, and they're difficult at times, and they're really fun at times, and they've blessed me, and I hope that I've blessed them, and I really do care about them, I know what one thing I think you've described yourself, or at least others, but I think you've described yourself as a bulldog when it comes to, you know, if somebody's going to come after one of you, they're going to have to get through him. And I feel very much the same way. And I've seen some of that happen from outside sources and things coming after various one of you, various sheeps. And that gets me hot real quick. And, you know, I try not to show that, but, you know, keep my cool. But I really do have a, I don't know if passion is the right word, but I really do care for them and love them and want to protect them and shepherd and lead well.
I really see that. And I think that's very accurate. And I'm glad you've allowed God to bring that out in you. And develop you in the way he wants you to be. Some of this other stuff at the bottom, I think we've already covered. Mm. Explain blessing you with Addie, the significance of having Addie and how that's changed you.
For sure, it's softened me up a good bit. And many of you know that Rachel and I both, initially, we wanted a boy. And we said, you know, I think, well, we want a boy. And we didn't know what we wanted, but we were saying, I think we want a boy. And we find out it's a girl, and we're like, okay, well, it's a girl, and we trust God knows best and all that. And, man, I can't tell you, like, now I'm so glad it was a girl. and she's definitely softened my heart so much. And beyond that, beyond what it's done to me and how it's made me see some things, but and I put it on the sheet there, it's really enabled me to see God the Father differently. Not that I was totally misunderstanding him before, but it's just enabled me to see him in a way that's hard if you don't have your own child. And so having my own daughter and her, you know, you're talking this morning in your sermon about, you know, children and her dependence and her need and her, you know, doesn't really care about things that we care about and, you know, that we find important and about being first and all this greatest and stuff. And dealing with her and loving her and taking care of her and seeing her respond and everything, it's just been it's been challenging, but it's been such a blessing, and it's really helped me to see God the Father in a different way and relate to him in a different way.
Great. And your marriage, how's your marriage?
My marriage is great.
Is it?
It's pretty good.
Okay. Rachel, are you here? she's in the back with Addie. Okay.
Rachel, we need you to weigh in.
Yeah, I need to ask Rachel. We can ask Rachel. Okay,
no, really
I feel
is.
Like what this has done is enabled you to see Brian. Again, this was completely unrehearsed, so you're seeing him like he is. You're seeing him respond. I felt like I asked some very difficult questions. Part of our responsibility as elders is to allow you to see what God has been doing, and I think God has been doing some remarkable things in this young man's life. And so we want you to see that. And ask God, that doesn't automatically mean he's the next pastor. I also want to address one thing that was mentioned before. The criteria of choosing a pastor that we passed out to you last week, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, the elders and David and Tammy, we're thoroughly going through all of those things and evaluating and examining Brian. So we want you to know that is actively being done. We can share the results of that with you at any time. But I encourage you to, again, ask the Lord, is there anything of concern? And we'll share with you what we've seen in areas of concern or weakness. We want God to be the one that chooses who our next pastor is. We're considering Brian at this point. I'm grateful that you're our executive pastor. I'm grateful you have a heart for God. I'm grateful you have a heart for the Lord in his word. And I'm excited about what I see God doing in your life, regardless of what happens going forward.
Can I say something?
Yes.
And just one more thing that I want to say. There's two things that I really feel like the Lord wants me to say here. So, number one, you know, and Bob said it well already, but there was some misunderstanding and some confusion last week about, well, if Brian's not voted in as the next pastor, well, what's going to happen? And obviously, we don't know exactly what will happen, but from my perspective, I'm not saying I want to leave. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. So as long as BBF will keep me, I'm going to be around. And I know there was some confusion there. Well, is Brian going to leave? Is he going? You know, what's he in? And so that's not my heart at all. I do want to be here. So I hope that helps. And also, there's just a tendency that you have, we have as humans, to kind of misunderstand things and kind of run with it and assume that we, not assume, maybe make presumption. And so if you're hearing something that causes confusion or misunderstanding or concern, you're saying, well, did Brian say this, or is this what he meant? Rather than run off with what you think I said, if that's not what I said, just come talk to me. Just ask me. I'm extremely available, extremely open, extremely approachable, and I'd like to clear anything up like that rather than cause any kind of problems. And so I'd encourage you to approach me.
And you won't get mad or yell?
Well, we'll see.
Okay. No, and he's available this week. You can do a breakfast, lunch, and dinner with him. He'll be at Tuesday and Wednesday Bible studies if the women want him. He'll be at women's study on Thursday. You can ask him anything you want, review any of the qualifications, get to know him. Main thing is ask God, is this the man you're choosing for us, or is this not the man? Anything else? Next week we'll have Brian will preach, and there'll be any question anyone wants to ask immediately following the sermon. So is there any other question that has to be asked before next week? Is there one? Loud. Yeah, I think so. We attempted to kind of do that with this, you know, do a resume, but it's not, obviously it's not about his whole life. Okay. Brian, are you okay with that?
Has he been married 5 times?
No. I'm almost sure it's not been more than twice. I'm almost sure.
Certainly, that's not something I'm opposed to. The problem I see...
Doing the resume, not being married twice.
Doing the resume. The problem I see with that is you guys would have 5 questions, and these guys would have 5 different questions. And so to kind of get that all in one document, regardless of how long it is, would be challenging. So it's something we can do to try to hit high points. But what I would really encourage, if you know, it seems like you guys have some significant questions for me and would like to get to know me even better. And, you know, I've met with you guys a couple of times, and I'd love to get to know you better. And so I would really encourage you guys to, let's just get together, either over a meal or not over a meal, just a meeting, and let's work it out like that.
Okay.
But then you can hammer me with all kinds of questions.
Right. No, we understand. We understand what you're asking for. No, we understand. We understand.
Right.
We'll try to put that together.
Yeah.
Jeff Conner?
I've always felt the calling to lead, and not always, you know. Yeah, good. The question is, have I always felt the calling to be a pastor, to preach, to be in ministry, to lead in this fashion? Is that pretty good? Okay. Or did something happen to kind of generate that within me? And I would say for sure something happened to generate that within me. It's not something I desired, you know, from when I was real young or anything like that. In college, I began to see some of the fruit of God gifting me with the gift of teaching. And so I did have a strong desire to teach, and the passions that I believe God has given me associated with that. Ever since then, I have had a desire to lead. I do believe that I'm not necessarily gifted, but I've always filled leadership roles in various organizations and jobs, and I think I'm skilled to do that. And I've always wanted to be more involved in ministry and never found the time to get more involved than I already was. I was an usher and did some minor things back in the States, but not anything like this. And so when the opportunity presented itself, you know, a couple of years ago, it was really exciting for both Rachel and myself. We're saying, wow, you know, we've always wanted to be more involved. Well, here's, you know, we're kind of going to jump in feet first or not, you know. And so we did, and that desire was really in us then. The desire to preach has been a more recent development. The desire to, and I would say I'm more of a teacher preacher than a traditional preacher, and so that desire has been there for a long time, and it's just a different how to the same what that's always been there, or at least has been there for a decade or so.
Okay, nothing else? Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and adore you. Lord, we want to digest what you've given us today through Jesus' teaching with this little child. And Father, we really want to be faithful to you. You are the head of this church, not we want you to be the head or we want to let you be the head. You are the literal head of the church, as the Word of God says. And here in Boquete, we want you to be the head, and we want you to rule and reign. And we don't want to do things our ways, we want to do things your ways. And Father, we don't want to let our experience in the past, our Western mindsets, be what determines who our next pastor is. We want you to choose him. But Lord, we do ask that you show us in a way that's undeniably you, your man, your choice, and why he should be our pastor. So we're asking you to do that in a way through a large group of people that will confirm what you have for us. So I pray that you'll help us get to know Brian much better this week. I pray that people will not be hesitant to ask concerns or questions or things that they really don't feel like he was qualified. And I pray that you will reveal the knowledge of your will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Father, our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. So we're going to thank you in advance for the man you got for us for our next pastor. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.